the things of this world to grow strangely dim. And you're not going to ever accomplish that watching television. Your spirit's controlled by what comes across the airwaves tomorrow, whether it's internet. The things of this world will stay front and center and captivate your attention and your affection. And we need to turn our eyes toward Jesus. Do I put this on? Is it, you guys giving me a battery for real? I go places that have the prop, but I'm pretty sure they don't give me a battery. That's okay. All right, couple things. Some of you have been surprised that I'm here. Not that you didn't know I was supposed to be here, but I guess I didn't. If I had everybody's phone number, I would have called you. I don't want anybody to feel left out. But, I've been in touch. And it is a privilege and a pleasure to be here. I've been asked also, understandably, where my wife is. And, I tell you, she's in Ohio. She wishes she was here. She's got a hearing aid thing, appointment on, supposed to be Wednesday. And I'm gonna fly her in as soon as I can. So, no problem with us. And other than just the thing, this meeting, God, was kind of a spur of the moment a couple months ago. And, you know, we usually are a little later in the, at least the end of January, first February, but if this is what God had in mind, I'm absolutely thrilled to be here. You pray for Susan. I don't know what she needs hearing aids. She didn't when I met her, but I don't get it, but amen. What a blessing it is to come to a place and really feel welcome. I've been in ministry 23 years and I don't need all that. I'm going to come in and do my job, but there are some places where you just walk in and you feel real comfortable and you feel that the greetings and things are sincere. And I was reminded this morning why I love this place. So thank you for that. Take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 16. Wow, there's a little more room in here than there was last year. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. This is the kind of thing where you appreciate what you had when you don't have it for a little while. When did you get back in here?
October meeting.
Oh, really? Okay, good. Well, it turned out great. It looks really good. We got a little more room. And it's full, so how did we ever get in there? I don't know. But. Amen. Acts chapter 16. And let me say one more thing. Ha, you know how that goes. Sunday school is a blessing to me. It was a real blessing. Usually I go places and the only person that I hear is me. I do Sunday school hour often. Coming here, I've had an opportunity to hear Brother Brian and Brother Billy numerous times, but that was the first time that Brother Lendl did the Sunday school, and that was a blessing to me. And I look at it as a personal gift from the Lord. If you missed it and you could have been here, you do well to make a point to be here during the teaching hour. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 19. It said, and when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe. Being Romans. That's not true. They weren't troubling the city. They troubled these guys because they messed with their money. They had a girl working for them that had the wrong spirit. And Paul called that spirit out. And it affected their wallet. Right. Amen. Now, they couldn't use that as an excuse to get them locked up. But they came up with one. As I read through this, it reminds me of what's going on in our country today. You see that, and you see what it is and how it's going, and then you listen to how people describe it, and you're wondering if we're all speaking the same language, if we're all on the same planet sometime. They get locked up. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes on them, doesn't say how many, but it says many, many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer. Now that's a direct order. That's pretty important. This guy was charged. It said charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, he took his duties seriously. Thrust them into the inner prison. The outer prison wouldn't have been enough, you know. They got to put them in the... Yeah, I've been in the inner prison. Yeah, amen. It's called the hole. Okay. And it says, and made their feet fast with stocks. And in verse 25, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Well, that's not the normal attitude to being treated unfairly. Amen. Note that these guys were not locked up for serving Jesus or for preaching the gospel. Amen. That specifically, they're locked up because they messed with them guys' money. Amen. Amen. And their attitude about it is, first of all, they prayed. And that ought to be your first resort in every situation. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And I guess they acknowledged him, they prayed, and here's how he directed their path. They sang praises unto God. You know, we get bogged down by troubles in this life, and we have troubles in this life, and we're supposed to have troubles in this life. That's why we look forward to leaving. If everything went as well as you wish it would down here, you'd be content to stay down here. I'm like Brother Lindo. I've been blessed with a great life, at least the last 29 years. Before that's a little foggy, and some wouldn't call it great. But I had been saved 29 years, November 30th, and I've had a much better life than I ever dreamed possible or had any right to deserve. Amen. It says that they sing praises unto God, and he's worth praising no matter what's going on. Amen. Amen. And we need to remember that. Amen. And your flesh is not going to remind you of that.
Amen.
Amen. And the good news is, and something that we know that lines up with what the prophet Isaiah told us, I believe in chapter 55, about the word of God going out. They didn't just pray and sing praise unto God. It says the prisoners heard them. Had an effect. Maybe they sang, and can it be? That was an old Charles Wesley hymn about the dungeon flaming with light. Amen. I remember that morning. It says in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open. You'd think an earthquake, the roof would come down. But not this one. This one had another purpose altogether. And the doors, and immediately all the doors were open. And not only were the doors open, but everybody, I guess everybody else was chained in their cell too, and their bands were loosed, it says. In verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. This guy's got some experience. That's what prisoners do when they get a chance. He was in his right mind, and he was a professional, and he'd been given charge by the magistrates to keep them safely. What did that mean? He knew what that meant. They're going to kill him. He's going to be put to death because he dropped the ball. And he just said, well, I'm going to save them the trouble and just get it over with. And that's why he drew his sword. And but Paul cried with a loud voice. See, that loud voice thing, it is scriptural.
Amen.
You know, it is. It is. And it says that Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and that'd be the jailer. Then he called for a light and sprang in. That's interesting. And came trembling. I bet he was. and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Those three, I mean, that question right there, that's the most important question there is.
Amen.
Right. My title for this morning is this, are you saved? Those three little words comprise the most important question there is. More important than any issue, any care, any concern in your life. And I'm not downplaying the fact that you may have issues, cares, and concerns. We do. There's just that it's been said already today. There's nothing more important than having your sins forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
Here's why it says in Mark 8:36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And none of us are in any danger of gaining the whole world. Amen. Most of us wake up and wonder what we're going to lose today. Amen. But I can answer the question. It'll profit you nothing. I had a friend sang a song one time, and I'm not going to recap it, but it had something to do with you never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And that stuff ends on this side of the grave. And where you spend eternity is determined by one thing only. Are you saved? Amen. So I want to talk to you on that thought this morning. Father, I love you, and I pray that you bless the message. Pray it would accomplish your purpose. Give me clarity of thought, the ability to just get across what your spirit can deal with and bear witness to. Lord, I don't know everyone here. There's faces I've never seen before. I would be foolish to take it for granted everybody is saved. I hope everybody leaves saved. I thank you for the privilege to stand in this pulpit, and I pray that all said and done would be according to thy will. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, now I mentioned that I've been locked up. Those that know me know that I got saved in a jail cell again 29 years ago. And I was looking at many, many years, probably the rest of my natural life, in a federal prison for drugs and weapons and things like that. I'm ashamed to have to admit that at that point in my life, almost 38 years old, I had been a dope head and a drunk and a member of a criminal motorcycle gang for many, many years. I was locked up, and just to get out of my cell, I went to a church service. I ended up in a church service. And a preacher came in, and he says, I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're locked up for. I don't know what you're looking at. I don't know what's going on at home while you're in here. And across the board, all that's usually pretty negative. And he said, so I don't know what it is you're dealing with, but I'm here to tell you, if you die in your sin, you got bigger problems than whatever problems you think you've got.
Amen. Amen.
And I remember thinking, oh, thanks for cheering me up. I'm looking at 37 years in prison, and he preached out of Luke 16, said you're going to hell too. Amen. I didn't like one thing about that guy. Amen, but I'll say it. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. I appreciate somebody having the guts to tell me the truth.
Amen.
The Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
And you might not like the truth, but you do well to heed it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that preacher preached there, and he made it real clear. I wasn't on my way to hell because I was a doper. I wasn't on my way to hell because I was a drunkard. I wasn't on my way to hell because I was a criminal. I was on my way to a devil's hell because I wasn't saved.
Amen.
Amen. That's what puts people in hell. Are you saved?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. It's a Sunday morning. You're in church. I acknowledge that, but there's no better place to be. But I'm here to tell you that people go to hell from a church pew just the same as a bar stool. I'm asking this morning, are you saved? And if you're not, and say, Brother Spurgeon, I don't have anything in my life similar with yours. I'm telling you, you're on your way to the same hell I was going to, though. Are you saved this morning? Now, I was in New York. I like New York City. And somebody said, how can you go there? I said, why? I mean, it's one of the best kept secrets in Christianity. I love going there. Amen. What do you go there for? Because there's Christians there that need encouraged. Amen. I like that. I like being around Christians. Amen. I got my sightseeing days are long gone. My tourism days are long gone. I come to San Antonio because of you. And it ain't the weather. It's because of you all that have taken a stand for Jesus Christ. That encourages me. I need encouraged. Amen. I got those voices too. And they're loud in my head. And one of them is telling me I need to live for me. And the other one telling me I ain't doing any good. And the other one, hey, you follow me? I got more than two, like, I guess that's what that means. Amen. But I tell you what, I'm at point in time in my life, the biggest thrill I get is watching God move in people's lives. There just ain't nothing better than taking from somebody that tried just about everything. You gotta be careful these days, don't want to say you tried everything. That could mean things I don't want to be associated with. So I was in New York, and I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, and he was telling me about a guy. Now, there are strong Catholics there, a lot of people, Italians, you know. And first time I ever heard Brother Veach on a Wednesday night read through the prayer list, and he listed about 15 names, Italian names, that they're praying for. And I'm sitting there, I'm from Ohio and Tennessee, that's a long story, but I thought there will be a special crown in heaven for anybody that can remember and properly pronounce all those names, I'm telling you. So this lady, she was in her 70s, I suppose, got saved. And she really got saved. And her husband was there, and he really wasn't saved. Now, he is a nice guy, and a friendly guy, and all that. And he wasn't confrontational at all. Just a nice guy coming to church like millions and millions of people do every Sunday in this country. And they started to talk to him. Brother Mike and somebody else started to talk to him. And asked him about being saved. And he, you know, he was polite, but he really didn't make a move. And if you're not ready, don't make a move.
Amen.
But they sowed the seed, and his wife got saved, and that gave his wife access to the throne of grace to pray for her husband to get saved. You know, once you get saved, you're supposed to take that thing seriously enough that you ought to maintain a testimony and a prayer life that might have an effect on someone else. The Bible says the effectual firm prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I was raised in a Methodist home too, Brother Lindell. And I'm glad that my mom and dad didn't have a King James Bible. And there's a lot of things doctrinally that you and I know they didn't know. And I probably, without a lot of grace, informed them of that right after I got saved, you know. We call that the holy wars, when you come in after living a life of sin, and you're going to straighten everybody out. My mother straightened me out on that. But I'm going to tell you what, I thank God that they stayed right enough with God to get a prayer through for David. And eventually God, in answer to a mother and father's prayer, put me in a place where I could hear the gospel. And I'm pretty sure that was probably my last shot. But I'm glad I got it.
Amen.
Now, so this lady got saved in New York, and her husband had a good witness. And I was talking to Brother Mike about that, and he got a chance to talk to the guy again. I think he brought his wife to church and dropped her off. And he went out there and talked to him and said, have you given any more thought to what we talked about, things like that? And he said, I've been thinking about it a lot. And he says, as a matter of fact, I got the S. He got the S. Now the subject is, are you saved? The subject is salvation. He says, I got the S. And that was the end of the conversation, and he went on. And I was having that conversation with Brother Veach, and we wondered what he meant. What does that mean? I've never had anybody say that before of you. If you do any personal work, you're going to hear all kinds of things. But I've never heard that before. And start thinking about it and realize, try to figure out what he might mean. He's got the S, and maybe it means this right here. Maybe it means that he realized that he was a sinner. Because that's what that S stands for. That S stands for sinner. I'm going to tell you, you can't get saved till you understand you need to be. You can't get found until you understand that you're lost. Amen. And if that S stands for anything, it ought to be a reminder to you and I that we're sinners. That Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Revelation 22 clarifies the glory of God. He's got a name. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And on your best day, you've come short.
Amen.
It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, and if by one man sin entered, and death by sin, and so that death has passed upon all men, for all men have sinned, or all have sinned. And I'm not going to settle for slander in the verse. I'll just look it up and read it to you right. Thought I had it, but that's pride, probably. I don't know. But it said, I'm going to read it right. Wherefore, if by one man sin entered into the world. Now, that's Adam. And it says they have death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Well, here's why. For that all have sinned. You know, when that guy said I got the S, I tell you what, I hope he realized that he's a sinner in need of a Savior. We're kicking it around and hoping that's what maybe that meant to him. Now, I was up in Massachusetts one time and gave a guy a track and he read it. I saw it was at a restaurant and we kind of met at the cash register. I might have told this before, but he was an upstanding member of the community. And he's holding the track in his hand at the cash register. He read that thing completely. And he said, "This is amazing. You really did need to get saved." And he read a story about a bike gang member and a professional criminal and all that. And he appreciated all the, but he didn't see his need. I'm going to tell you something. He needed to be saved every bit as much as I did. And I tell you what, if you're in here and you're saved and maybe you never drank or smoked or done any of the things the rest of us had done, but you need to be saved just as much as old Dave Perkins. And I got news. I'm going to say it again. I'm glad you're here on a Sunday morning. But if you're in here this morning and you're not saved, you need to be. Amen. Listen, it took the same cross, the same blood, the same grace to save a child as it takes to save a murderer.
Amen.
Boy, if there's one need, I mean across the board, that we all have in common is that we're sinners. He said, "I got the S." I hope maybe that it meant that he realized he is a sinner. I know one thing. That S stands for solution. Now, 975 between Toledo and Dayton, Ohio, there's it's called American Plastics. And they make all kinds of plastic containers, and a lot of companies use their containers. And that man that started that company is a Christian. Christian Missionary Alliance, I think it is. And I didn't know this all them years driving up and down I-75, hauling dope or guns or explosives or half intoxicated. I didn't know anything about that. There's about, I don't know, 8 flagpoles in front of the company. It's right on the interstate. And I kind of find out later that there was a flag for every country that company had started a church. Amen. This guy, they put gospel tracts in every order they shipped out, and they shipped out hundreds and hundreds a day. It was a multi-billion-dollar operation. And the only reason I ever paid any attention to it, but you can't get around it, on the side of that building in big letters, lit up at night, there's these words. Christ is the answer. And I remember driving by and I'd see that and on my way to do something I shouldn't be doing most of the time. And I'd snicker at that thing and mock that thing. And if I was with somebody, I might utter it out loud or they would, or I'd think it in my heart. If not, what's the question? Christ is the answer, huh? What's the question? I'm going to tell you what the question is. Are you saved?
Amen.
This morning?
Amen.
Because if you're not, Christ is the answer.
Amen.
It ain't religion.
Amen.
It isn't turning over a new leaf. Boy, them leaves, you watch them blow. Well, I don't know, cactus don't have leaves, do they? Well, anyway, up north, we got leaves, and the leaves fall in the fall, and the wind blows, and those leaves, they might turn over 100 times. I know people in church that have turned over a new leaf about 100 times. But we don't need to go straight. We need to be saved. Amen. Are you saved? Amen. And I hope you are. I hope you are, because Christ is the answer. Well, then I got going on that thing, and that guy got the S, and I start thinking about his need to be saved, and I just wondered about the A. And maybe he'll get the A one of these days. And so the A, of course, it stands for all, and we already hit it, man. The Bible says all and sin and come short of the glory of God. But that's not all. All means. It says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, and a lot of people say that, oh yes, I'm saved, oh yes, I'm a Christian. Sometimes you'll knock on the door and you'll ask them if they're a Christian and they'll say no, they won't say yes or no, they'll give you their denominational name. But they have just answered your question, that they're not a Christian if that's what comes out of their mouth. Amen. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's what our goal is. That's what we're trying to do today. Encourage one another to walk in the light. And that's a spiritual thing. Your flesh isn't interested in that. The Bible says men love darkness. But it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all. That's what that A means. That S stands for sinner. We're sinners, that's for sure. But I'm going to tell you what, that A in that word saved means that there's a solution, that there's an answer, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sin. Verse 9 said, if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from, hold on, what?
All
unrighteousness. I'm glad about that. You know what that means? That means the Lord made it just as easy to stay right with God as he made it to get saved in the first place.
Amen.
Say, what do you mean? You need to be honest with yourself and honest with God. And even after you're saved, you're going to sin. Yeah, 4 or 5 of us at least. And the rest of you too. If you'll get honest with yourself, if you'll be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, that you realize that your joy and your peace is gone because of sin, and you confess your sins, even when we're unfaithful, and we often are, and when we're unjust, and we often are, even with the best of intentions, he'll forgive us. He'll cleanse us. He'll forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Boy, I'll tell you what, that S stands for sinner, and we're sinners, but I'm going to tell you what, salvation is available to all. Amen. That's what that A, I'll tell you something else that A stands for. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 says this. To the praise, listen to the wording. Now if you got a King James Bible, it's going to read like this. If you don't, I have no idea how it's going to read. But I'm serious, and you know, that may be that the case. But it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein he hath made us. Now Paul's writing to a church just like this. New Testament believers, saved by grace through faith, just like this. He has made us accepted in the beloved. Boy, I like that. Amen. I don't know why anybody messes with the Word of God, with the King James Bible. That's poetic. How do you improve on to the praise of the glory of His grace? I don't know. I wouldn't want to mess with it. I don't see how you improve upon that. It says He has made us to be accepted in the beloved. Now maybe you're under some misconception that you deserve to be accepted in the beloved. But this guy, that's a big deal to me. I mean, I wake up often. If there's one thing that I learn, it's reinforced more the longer I live, is that I got in on something I didn't deserve to get in on.
Amen.
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 And the longer I live, the easier it is for it to be all about Him and less about me and less about us and less about what we do. It's all about Him. And He's the beloved. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And you and I can get in on that? You can if you're saved. You can if you're saved. Accepted, that's a good feeling, right? I got a credit card application in the mail right after I've been saved. And within that first year, I just started working a job. Okay, and depositing a paycheck, hadn't had one of them in 15, 16 years. When I started paying taxes, somebody said, aren't you afraid the IRS is gonna wonder where you were for all those decade and a half? And it really didn't matter because I'm supposed to be a law-abiding citizen, so I don't try to figure everything out. I just try to go by the book and trust God. That's working pretty good. I said, they said, aren't you worried about the IRS? I said, well, here's what I'm going to tell them. If they asked me where I was between 1978 and 1990, however that's 12 years, I said, I'm going to tell them I don't recall where I was. That's honest. Because I don't remember where I was half the time. They can't prove. That's what the people, I don't want to give anybody any tips, you know. But that's what, they can't get you for perjury if you say you don't recall. Now, they can make a liar out of you if you contradict yourself, but, you know, they can't prove whether or not you remember, and it's getting worse every year, as a matter of fact. So I get this credit card application for some, get this, law enforcement Visa card. Got a little badge on it. And it says, due to your excellent credit status, you've been pre-approved. Excellent credit, then. I said, I would never do business with anybody this stupid. Amen. I'm the guy that if I walked into a bank, they're looking for the button. Amen. I didn't have any credit status. I never had a checkbook till I was 40. And by the time I learned how to use it, it was too late. Still trying to fix all that stuff, some of that. But it did say I was accepted. You know what? Every company wasn't that dumb. There are a couple times because the way we travel or want to accumulate sky miles, what a joke that turned out to be. I drive everywhere in a motorhome. What am I going to do with sky miles? Except maybe use some, fly my wife in there next week. I've applied for credit cards and, you know, I don't know how they worded it, but I know what they were thinking. Are you out of your mind? Yeah, and you know, it kind of hurts not to be accepted. It's kind of depressing. But I tell you what, I'm happy to report, I got some good news for you and I. If, because of your horrible predetermined status as a sinner, you're pre-approved to be accepted in the beloved. Paul wrote to Timothy, this is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners.
Amen.
Paul said, of whom I am chief, present tense, he's gone. Wonder who's chief now. I know this. You and I are jockeying for position. That's what we are. Accepted in the beloved. I did a wedding, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. And so, you know, I had my own little tweak to everything. We're not bound to anything. I can't find it in here. That little pastoral handbook that somebody gave me years ago, I lost that, you know. We do funerals and weddings and every opportunity to speak according to that book. But I did get to the point where I said, I got to write it down because I don't even remember. It's something like this, dearly beloved. Doesn't that sound sweet? And if I fought on the way to the church, we're gathered here together in the sight of God. You know what I do? I remind people that these vows you're making are before God. I told couples that were fussing, that's putting it really mildly in a few cases. What you need to do is you need to go home and watch, leave the kids at grandma's house and watch that DVD or whatever, depending on how old you are, and watch that video of your wedding ceremony where you made vows to God about how you're going to treat one another. That's the problem. We throw those things out. Well, now, hopefully not we, but people stand there and they're all caught up. They give more attention to the wedding day than they ever do the marriage. Amen. A lot of people. And get hung up on all that stuff. But anyway, you get to the place where you're gathered together in the sight of God and do you, and the person says, I do. And then you say, do you to the woman, what's her, the bride. You can see I'm pro at this. And you know what they say? They say, I do. And I'm going to tell you, if you're not saved in here this morning, and again, we're glad you're here, but if you're not saved in here this morning, you need to say, I do to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you'll be accepted.
Amen.
In the beloved. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us. Preacher did a good job. Every race, every part of the country. Yankees? He'll say Yankees, yes. Amen. Cleanseth us from all sin.
Amen.
All right, so then, help me with my spelling. S, A, then there's a V. V, we're talking about, are you saved? We're just going through that word saved. Amen. That's why they knew salvation, because some of you are getting tired already. Amen. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?
Yeah.
Well, for a saved person, there isn't any. The grave doesn't have any victory. I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Some of you said, go where? I mean, yeah, that's the problem. You need to be saved. It says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory.
Amen.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You get saved, you get the victory. Over what? Over death, hell, and sin, death, hell, and the grave. Amen. That's not the only battle to be fought. I mean, tell you what, when you get saved, it's on. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. You didn't have that problem when you were lost. If you're in here today, you're probably wondering what I'm thinking about, what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're a child of God, that flesh didn't get saved, which is flesh, and it's still flesh, and our battles with the flesh, amen. Devil gets credit for stuff he don't even know about, I believe. But I'm glad there's victory. You come to Jesus Christ by faith, and the Bible said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory.
Thank you.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very clear, very plain. You don't have to try to figure out what that means. Now, when the peace sign, for lack of a better way to say it, when that showed up back in World War II, it didn't mean peace. I mean, the world was at war. And the first reference I know of, and you know, you want to Google that and prove me a liar, go ahead. I could care less. But the first time I ever heard of it, as a child, studying the war, my dad was in the war, Churchill was holding his fingers up, and it meant victory. I'm not a hippie's got it. I grew up in the 60s too, and I'm not a hippie's, got a hold of it. Amen. But I noticed that it's been making a great comeback recently. I've been riding down the road on motorcycles. I told somebody here, I pulled my motorcycle out of the garage on Christmas Day because it's just me and my wife. All right? That's our day. Nobody wants to be around because they're all doing something else. I'll leave it at that. And I got on my motorcycle and I rode 100 miles. They said, where'd you go? Nowhere. Around the county, back roads. On Christmas Day in Ohio, that was a gift from God to me. Amen? I'm not sure why I brought that up, but I'm glad I got a chance to. Let me see. I got to cancel that. I just want to say that. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I like. Now, Daisy, I mean, going down the road, I'll meet motorcycle guys on the outside of the road. And, you know, people wave, you know, we wave. That's good. But now I'm getting a peace sign. I'm not doing it. Amen. I'm not doing it. But it's made a great comeback. All these hand gestures have made a great comeback. Amen. Of course, like everything else, I'm so far out of the loop, I've probably been in the presence of things, and I didn't even know what people were doing. At one of my daughter's weddings, this was quite a while ago, my dad was there, and he came up from Tennessee, and people from the church, he'd been there for my ordination, and he'd been there for a couple of things in my life. People from the church knew him. He's a good man, one of the best men I ever knew, outside Jesus Christ. And he was my friend. He was a carpenter. And he sawed those fingers off back in the 50s. Back then, if you're in the middle of a job and the guard breaks on your circular saw, you remove it and you keep on the job. And he ended up sawing those two fingers off. And he reached down and wrapped them in a handkerchief and hollered to one of the other carpenters that he needed a ride. And they sewed them back on. They sewed them back on. And I don't know how they do pretty good these days, but in the 50s, they just turn black and fall off and they got to cut them on. So I was a kid when that happened. I was a kid. So most of my dad's life, he had just these three fingers. You know what I find funny? I've had full grown men tell me that they won't shoot a .45 because it kicks. You know, and if you like 9mm, that's your business. But my dad and me and people that were my era in the military, we were trained on 45s. And my dad, at 88 years old, could hold a Colt 45 with these two fingers and pull the trigger with that one and hit what he's shooting at. And I'm looking at my dad and I'm going, seriously? My dad's at the wedding. He's standing back there. He's standing back there in the back, up against the wall, like this. And somebody saw him, noticed him, and said, hello, Mr. Spurgeon. And my dad went, you know, he's down there. And one of the kids goes, Brother Spurgeon, Dad's giving gang signs. not really, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, when that peace sign came up, first time, it wasn't for peace. It was for victory. Let me tell you something. Are you saved? That's the question of the hour. If you're saved, you've got, I mean, death and hell, that's just the tip of the iceberg. You got victory.
Amen.
And isn't because you cleaned up nice or put a tie on. Oh, that'd just be me. But it isn't. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. That makes you a victor. Amen. And not a victim. Amen. When you got saved, you were a victim, all right. I'm a victim, too. I mean, we got to share. We're going to have a group hug right after. And I'm a victim of a lot of dumb decisions in my life.
Amen.
And so are you.
Yeah.
But I'm not a victim of anymore. And I've made some dumb decisions since I've been saved. So I try to learn from them and go on. But I'm going to tell you something. When you became a child of God, you became a victor.
Amen.
It's your name went out of the victim column. Amen. The victims of sin, those that are going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Your name went into the victor column. This world is really embracing this victim mentality. They're starting, you know, hashtag, what does that even mean? I had to ask somebody what that meant, you know. But they're starting all these movements, and they got everything. And, oh, I was, you know, somebody looked at me ugly, and I'm damaged. Yeah, well, you was damaged before that. I got news for you. Amen. But, I mean, it's crazy. I never thought I'd see Americans falling for that the way we do. The way God's blessed this country. But we got a lot of victims, and that, it is what it is, you know. The world's a mess without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No doubt about that. You know, I'm not trying to say that's not the case, but man, I'm in a different church every week, 52 weeks a year. I'm in a different pulpit every week, 51 weeks a year, because I'm in this one twice. At least the last couple of years. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It blows my mind that Christians have embraced this victim mentality. And how do you know? What do you mean? Because anything asked of you or anything in your life that doesn't line up with the Bible, instead of acknowledging that, let the Holy Spirit guide and direct, we say, but.
Yeah.
You know, and like we're individually all the exception to what the Bible says. My wife was dealing with a gal one time, and my wife, she's just straight shooter, man. She knows the Bible, and the girl was telling her something. My wife said, well, you know, the answer in the Bible says this, and she, that works for everybody but this gal. And about three times she'd say, but, yes, that's what the Bible says, but in my case. And finally my wife closed her Bible and says, you know, I can't help you. She said, what? I said, yeah, the Bible works for everybody except you. No, the Bible works for everybody. Unless your name, unless you live in the victim category. It's time for God's people to quit acting like victims.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And start acting like victors. Say, well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, let me ask you, are you saved?
Yes.
If you're not, that might not make any sense. But if you're saved, man, are you?
Yeah.
S-A-V-E. E. Preacher did a great job in the book of John today, didn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty sure I heard some amen from people that weren't even here. But trust me, he did. He did. It was good. And courts, and again, I agree. Probably the most profound verse in the entire Word of God is John 3:16. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Somebody pointed out one time, there's 25 words in that verse. 25 words. The first 12, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And then there's 12 words after. Jesus Christ is dead center in that verse. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. You want to be saved, Jesus Christ becomes dead center.
Amen.
In your life. Whosoever, that's why you know he's not talking about the world, he's talking about people. Whosoever is a personal pronoun thing, I think. I'm not even sure. My wife's not giving me signals. And I'll tell what will happen until she gets here. Anyway, it has to do with people. Sorry, bro. We gotta have a class before I can understand what you're doing. Amen. And you need to move, because all these new lights are great, but there's a reflection. Okay, moving on. I can't help myself. I told you I feel good here. And then say, you better, you're never coming back. Okay, well, I'm gonna make the most of it then. That thing says, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? That's what that Easter. You saved? That's what that E stands for.
Everlasting.
Now, there's a great controversy. I didn't realize it when I was a heathen. See, I had a leg up on a lot of people. I didn't get saved out of religion. I had an advantage. I knew I was a sinner. I was working toward my doctorate degree. Amen. Maybe my second one. Amen. My life changed radically. Amen. When God opened my eyes. And so I didn't know that there are people that claim to trust Jesus Christ, believe what he did on the cross, and then believe you can lose your salvation. And that's, I had a guy one time say, you guys, I don't want to say the word Baptist, because A lot of people besides Baptists believe this. You guys believe that once you get saved, you can't lose your salvation. Anybody believe that in here?
Amen.
All right. So I said, oh, no, I don't believe that. That disarmed him, you know. He wanted to argue. I said, I don't believe that. I believe you can lose your salvation. He went, what? And I said, oh, yeah. But if you ever get his. That book says in Ephesians chapter 2, we're his workmanship. That's all people. That's a lot of church people. That's all they got. They got their own salvation. They're working it out, but it ain't going to work it out. You got to come to Jesus Christ. You got to be saved. Amen. Amen. I got to keep coming over here because my memory is leaving. Amen. So people believe that you can lose your salvation. They believe, how can that be? So old school method. I went to the dictionary. I didn't go to my phone. Put your phone down. And I looked the word up. Everlasting. Yeah. And you know what it meant, right? It means, watch this. Everlasting.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what kind of everlasting life some people got, but I got the everlasting kind. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That starts with an E too. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Micah said it like this in chapter 4 and verse 5. For all people, this is profound and it's true to this day. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. And don't you know that's true? That's what's going on right now across the land. Everybody's walking in the name of his God. And we, for the child of God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord, capital L, the Lord our God, capital G, forever and ever. I like that. Ever and ever. That's what that E stands for. Forever. Everlasting life. That's what it stands for. Stands for escape. Amen. You get saved, and the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, whereby have given unto us, exceeding great and precious promises. That's what that book is. Amen. That by these, you might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped. Hey, you got saved, you escaped. Escaped the corruption that is in the world. That's exactly what happened. You got out of what you deserved.
Amen.
You escaped.
Yes, sir.
And say, how do you know that? I got saved in jail cell. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But I had enough sense to admit I was a sinner. If you're in here this morning and you got a remote thought in your mind that salvation is for bad people, you're right. But that book says, and the Bible says all have sinned, and the ground's level on the cross, and everybody needs this. You get saved by believing on what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The Bible said he died for our sins.
Yeah.
According to the scriptures. Was buried and rose again the third day. According to the scriptures. That's what we need. Amen. Yeah. But boy, you get saved by being honest with yourself and admitting, boy, if that book's true, and it is, and I know I'm a sinner, praise the Lord for being honest with yourself, but that book says you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to reap the wages of sin for all eternity. Amen. And you need to be honest with yourself. Amen. And then you get saved. And then you get in the Bible a little bit. Those exceeding great and precious promises. And boy, you found out you got in on more than you bargained for. Amen. I love being a Christian. I'm having more fun than I was out to have fun. I spent 37 years of my life doing what I wanted to do. Amen. Okay, not that first few, because my mom was a pretty tough Irish gal. But once I got on my own, man, I went for the gusto. And I had some good times and some crazy times, and a lot of times I don't even remember. Then I got saved. My life is a ball.
Amen.
I do. I got the best job in the world. I got the best friends in the world. And maybe that I can look at it that way. Some people don't look at being a Christian that way. They just look at it as a bunch of thou shalt nots, or, you know, there's things my friends are doing, or people from work, and I'm not supposed to do them, because, or I shouldn't do them, or somebody says that I Christian, don't act the way. And you know, you're kicking against the pricks is what you're doing. Amen. You're not doing it right. The last 29 years of my life have been the most fun.
Amen.
And to a large degree because of the great and precious. I know what I got in on. I didn't tell you, are you saved this morning? That D, let's just wrap this up. That D stands for dead. S-A-V-E-D, dead. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you have to quicken who were dead. And trespasses and sins. If you're saved in here, that was you. You, oh, but I was young and healthy and strong and smart. You are dead. And if you're saved, you're not dead anymore. Let me tell you something. If you're in here this morning, you might be the nicest person in the room. I know some lost people that are nicer than a whole lot of Christians I know. But being nice don't get you into heaven either. If you're in here this morning and you're not saved, you are dead in trespasses and sin. And no matter what this life holds for you, it's not going to turn out well. It says in Romans chapter 6, for those of you that are saved, and I reckon many of you are, Romans chapter 6 verse 2 says, God forbid, how shall we, Christians, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? So when you get saved, that's the subject this morning, the topic, you go from dead in sin, no hope, horrible future, to dead to sin. Doesn't that sound better? Amen? You know what that guy said, I got the S. And got annoyed, my mind starts going, and I'm bouncing this off Brother Veach, and ended up with this message, and that guy got saved.
Amen.
It took him a little while, but he eventually got it. How about you? Are you saved?
Yes.
I mean, I don't take it for granted. Amen? Some of you, I've seen your faith for years and years, I don't take it for granted you're saved. That would be a travesty. I mean, I don't say that to be ugly or mean or anything like that. Let me tell you something. Everybody has to be saved before you check out. I was here a year ago. I'm off schedule. Amen. I'm not even supposed to be here. I guess maybe God must have thought I needed to be. I'm glad. I'm happy to be here. But you know what? I buried some people since I was here last year. I mean, I know some precious saints of God that live. Well, I could go down the list. So a pastor's wife that was 88 went home to be with the Lord in October. An evangelist I've known for 25 years went home. You know people that have stepped out into eternity too. That's just part of this. But where you go depends on one thing and one thing only. Depends on whether or not you're saved.
Amen.
And I hope you are.
Amen.
And if you are, you got in on a whole lot more than just not going to hell. I'm going to live a miserable life, but at least I'm not going to hell. What up? Really? I don't have a character to live like that. But people do. You got accepted in the beloved of Jesus Christ. You have victory.
That's right.
Jesus Christ brought the main victory. But there's victory in this life over this flesh, over the bad habits, over the cares of this life. You got in on that if you're saved. You escaped the corruption of the world and have everlasting life. You're dead to sin. What does that mean? You're going to live forever. These things overlap, don't they? Are you saved? I mean, sure enough. I mean, according to the Word of God.
Yes. Amen.
Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Or are you doing the best you can? And you made progress? And, boy, I'm not what I was. Praise the Lord. Me too. But when this life is over, and it will end, for you, one day, are you going up or are you going down? Because those are the only two choices in the Bible.
Right.
Say, well, I'm taking another option. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
Let's all stand. If you're able, please stand. Now, that's the invitation. The whole message is an invitation.
You're right.
Amen. Now, it just boils down to what you're going to do with it. And I tell you what, smartest thing I ever did, well, the best thing I ever did, but definitely the smartest thing I ever did was get my sins forgiven. Brother Brian said, here we are, 2020, Lord's not back yet. Yeah, he's not. Because he's not willing that any should perish.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You might be in here and all this hold up is God waiting for you.
Amen.
Why don't you make this your day?
Yes.
Amen. You'll be glad you did. Preacher, come on and wrap this thing up.